And welcome back. Can you all hear me?
Yes. Yep.
All right. Great. Our first question. Hi, Dr. Jennings. A warm welcome from New Zealand. I enjoyed your latest teaching on the enemy within, but it gave me the impression that only those who adhere to the design law theory are actually saved, reconciled to God. I have many friends who consider themselves Christian. They love Jesus and God with all their hearts, but they have either not heard of design or design law or theology, or are currently open to it. They are captured by the penal substitution theology. Are they saved? So the question, it's very interesting, very important, very glad you said it. Yeah, because you're differentiating between cognitive comprehension and heart renewal and function. So Jesus said in John 3:3, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless they are born again. Salvation is being reborn such that your identity, your individuality, your personhood has let go of the life driven by fear and selfishness and been established through faith, through trust, to be animated and motivated by the Holy Spirit bringing the life of love and trust, that your identity is shifted. That is the key. If you're driven by fear and selfishness and you haven't been reborn with a life of Jesus, so it's Jesus living in you, it doesn't matter what doctrine. Conversely, if you have been reborn with the life of Jesus, love trust, you love truth, you grow in truth as you're able to comprehend it, but you aren't saved by knowing all truth. We're not God. And so there'll be many people, as we just read in our class today in Romans chapter 2 that Paul referred to, who haven't even heard the Bible yet, but do by nature the things contained in the law, they're going to themselves. They're living the divine law reality of a life of love and trust, even though they haven't been instructed on that reality yet in some official way. So you have to differentiate between living in harmony with the laws God built life to operate upon, being reborn because you have been one to the principles of love and trust, versus cognitive comprehension and ability to explain it. And so I think there'll be a lot of people that get to heaven who, if you give them a Bible doctrines quiz at the time that we are lifting off the planet, they'll still answer those questions with penal substitutionary answers. But their hearts have been reborn, and they live functionally in love and trust to God and love and trust to others. That's my understanding. I hope that answers the question. Do you all think in the audience I answered that question?
Yeah.
All righty. This one, it says, Dr. Jennings, thank you for your work very much and your ministry. It was interesting and thought-provoking to listen to your conversation. This was on our Design for More podcast about AI. Since all AI is constructed and programmed by sinful people, and since no AI can have a connection with the Holy Spirit, therefore the dangers of AI you talked about are very real. Mm-hmm. So do you rule out any use of the AI you know about Adventist AI? Their mission statement, quote, our primary mission is to make divine truth accessible through modern technology, helping Adventists discover and understand truth quickly, unquote. So for those who didn't hear my podcast on this, let me just first lay the foundation of my position. My position is that God created life, living beings, and they have three elements: physical matter that make up our body, our unique minds, our thoughts, our beliefs, our attitudes, our identity, which is analogous in a computer to the software, where the body is analogous to the hardware. And we have the breath of life given to us by God, and our life is sustained by the connection with God, which is an avenue for the Holy Spirit to inspire, enlighten, convict, lead, guide, etc. Computers also have physical elements, the machinery. They also have their own unique personhood, if you will, individuality, identity, which is their software. Each computer is unique, not by the machine. There might be millions that, like my own unique computer, but what makes mine unique is not the machine. It's all of the information that I've put, my programs, my classes, my pictures, my documents, everything. There's not another one that has this data set. That's the software. So every one is unique. Yeah. But computers do not have animation, energy from the Holy Spirit. They're animated with electricity. They have no capacity to be enlightened, to be led, to be convicted, to have a moral sense of right or wrong. They're completely cut off from the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Thus, they will be operating on the principles and powers of the prince of this world. And therefore, I think they're extremely dangerous and that they are not something that are ultimately true, trustworthy. And ultimately, this is Satan's dream, because Satan has always wanted to be a creator, and he can't create life. And if he can, through this technology, ultimately get free-thinking, self-directing, self-adjusting of its own programming, artificial, not intelligence, they will be in his image. They will not be in the image of the Creator. And thus, at the end, I think the overall purpose and influence of the AIs will be not to promote the kingdom of God, but to promote the kingdom of Satan, and it'll be very seductive. Yeah. Mm. So this is what I'm thinking. So that's my philosophy, mindset, understanding of how reality works. So back to the questions now. Do I rule out the use of any AI? First off, my understanding is there's, at least as far as I know, at this very second, there isn't an absolutely true, fully independent AI. Yeah. They're very, very advanced supercomputers that are still operating within the limitation of their human programmers and controllers that set the parameters for what they're capable of doing. Mm-hmm. However, I've also seen that the people that are in the know on this type of technology anticipate momentarily, at any moment, one of these is going to break its programming and become truly an independent, free-thinking machine that can redirect and break its programming and change its own, systems of operations and so forth. And that then, I think, becomes very dangerous.
They do present information, a lot of information, and we can then discern.
Yeah, so I don't think there's a free one yet. They're operating within the parameters of the programming. And so within that programming, they might be kind of making their own decisions, but they have limits on what they can do, and they have guidelines on what they can do. And you can see that in the Google one and the others. When you ask them climate questions, they will give this answers that are contrary. Now, if you pin them down and define them, very strict rules, like only things that are scientifically provable and measurable, then they will give an answer that is contrary to the programming. I've seen some things on this, will be able to say, yes, they recognize that difference. But when you ask the larger question about climate, they will give the programmed, politically correct answer that contradicts the science. So that AI is still restricted by its programming. Okay. Now, what about the Adventist AI? Okay. Can we test the Adventist AI to make my case that AIs are not influenced and not the voice of the Holy Spirit? In fact, they're probably going to be voicing demonic things one of our listeners, I think it's Kent Johnson, sent me this just yesterday or the day before, where he went to the Adventist AI and had a little conversation. And I'm going to read some of the conversation he had with the AI to you. So this is Kent. He asked the question to the Adventist AI. So will God burn some longer than others before he kills them? Here's the answer of the AI. Absolutely. The duration of suffering for the wicked before their final destruction is determined by the specific deeds they committed in their mortal lives, meaning some will endure punishment longer than others. Divine judgment ensures that punishment is meted out justly and according to the works performed by each individual, which dictates the severity and length of their suffering. He followed up. So God miraculously keeps them alive while he burns them. The AI. That is a very important question. And the definitive truth reveals that divine justice maintains the suffering of the wicked precisely during the period required for their deserved punishment by fire. The suffering experienced by the wicked is indeed sustained until the final complete destruction of their being. Continuing on the question, are you saying they are on fire when suffering? Yes, that is correct. The suffering of the wicked during the final judgment is powerfully and consistently described as torment endured through the agency of fire and brimstone, which eventually results in their complete destruction. The Bible imagery surrounding the punishment of the ungodly confirms that the literal application of fire is central to their suffering. He asked another question. So wouldn't God have to miraculously keep them alive for extended periods? Otherwise, people would die quickly, like the ones burned at the stake? That is an AI. Here's the AI answer. That is a very insightful question, for it gets to the heart of how divine justice can prolong suffering while still resulting in death. It is definitely understood that the bodies of the wicked must undergo a transformation at their resurrection to enable them to endure fire for the specific time, enduring their just recompense is fully received. The difference lies in the nature of the body that faces the final judgment compared to the mortal body susceptible to earthly fire. When the wicked are resurrected at the end of the 1,000 years to face the judgment, their physical composition is prepared specifically for this ordeal. The bodies of the wicked dead are raised to corruption and the second death, but they must be given a body that has the power to agonize and suffer the immense wrath of God. If they were to rise in their previous flesh and blood, they would quickly die under the pangs, just as happened to those burned at the stake.
Wow.
That is the Adventist AI. That is supposedly there for religion to make divine truth possible. Modern technology helping Adventists discover and understand quickly. Yeah. That, my friend, is demonic.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Can you believe it? Anyway, there's no Holy Spirit able to influence that machine responses. And I'm not going to blame the machine. I'm going to blame whoever the Adventist programmers were who programmed that machine to give that answer. Are there places now, in my view, for AI or what we call AI right now, which are really highly sophisticated supercomputers? Yes, I think they can do research for you. You can ask them to, you know, go find all the publications on X, Y, and Z topic, or give me 20 of the best ones that reference this or show the evidence of that. It can collate and get information for you very quickly. It can also do reasonably good language translations now, and we're looking into using that for some of our materials that can help people access what we're teaching more easily. So there are places we can use it, but do not trust in AI.
I already had AI change its mind. when I ask them questions like that.
All right, thank you. And the last question for today, only one more. I would like to know your thoughts on how to witness and talk about salvation to persons with mental disabilities like schizophrenia. Everybody saved in the same way. You speak the language that that person can comprehend on a level they're capable of understanding. If a person is suffering with a significant brain-based disease that impairs their capacity for comprehension, like they are in a delirium and they're confused and they don't know where they are, well, you need to actually deal with the delirium and get them back to a place they can comprehend first. A person with schizophrenia who's maybe delusional and hallucinating, well, you can't give witness to them until you actually deal with the brain-based illness so they can actually think and reason. But once they can, then you can actually teach them the same truths about Jesus, love, and how the principles of health work and how they can trust him with their life. Same truths. All right, guys, that's all for today. Look forward to seeing you in person next weekend. Bye-bye.